Well, you probably saw on that wonderful trailer that Brian put on the Friday Mail out that what I'm going to be speaking about today is suddenlies. And he said to me, do you think the storm picture I put on was too great? Well, think of the storm we had on Friday, and I think the storm picture of the lightning and the thunder that he showed on the screen was even more so than Friday. And that is what I wanted. I wanted it to be a really intense storm that was on this photograph on the Friday Mail out, and he did it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brian. I think you're in with the children now, but bless you for that. So, suddenlies. My word, do we all get suddenlies? Do you know what suddenly actually means? It means when things happen quickly, without warning and unexpectedly. I think we can all relate to that. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now and we praise you that you're here by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we've been able to worship you in freedom and in truth. And Lord, we pray this morning that you will speak through me, Lord. Anything I plan to say that's erroneous, just bin it, Lord. And may I just allow your Holy Spirit to flow through me, that it touches every heart in this room and my heart indeed as well. And everybody said, amen. You don't want my drivel, you want the words of the Lord. So if you've got your Bibles or your phones all on Mark 4, we're going to read just a few short verses here, 35 to 41. Now you need to just get the context where you're looking for this. It's at the end of a very long day. Jesus has been busy, the disciples have been busy, they were down at the lake, that he was teaching, there were so many people, so many miracles going on, Jesus had to get into a boat to preach because of the crush, and it's just amazing the parables and the miracles that were happening. So we're at the end of a long day. So starting at verse 35. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with them. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So you've got the scene. We've set the scene with the scripture. And I just want to say to us, suddenlies appear from nowhere. Would you all agree? Come on, you know what I'm talking about by suddenlies. Things go wrong. Think in your life of things that go wrong, that suddenly come out of nowhere, they hit you, woof, and you think, just think for a second or two, could it be something to do with the pandemic, your children, your parents, your family, your work, your church, your business, your friends, your house, your car? It goes on and on and on. The list is endless, isn't it? Suddenly, something goes pear-shaped, and we think, woof, what hit me? This is what happened to the disciples. We can all have good suddenlies as well as bad suddenlies. This was a bad one. And sometimes we get good ones. And when we get the good ones, please, please, please remember to bring Lord into it and thank him for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. I mean, you go to a tap and turn it on, you never think. Halfway across the world, they have no taps to turn on. Thank the Lord even for things like that. We take things so for granted. But the bad suddenlies is what I want to talk about a little bit now. These disciples in our story this morning were experienced fishermen. Has anybody ever been on the Lake of Galilee? Yeah, a few hands go up. You will know, it was explained to you, it's like a long lake, mountains and mountains, and it works like a wind tunnel. And storms whip up from nowhere. But these fishermen would have known how to read the signs. We're told how to read the signs of the times, but they would have been taught how to read the signs of the wind and the weather before they set out on the lake to fish. And normally they would have fished at dark. So here they are, they're going out at the end of a day. Could it have been dusk? We don't really know. But they're going out towards the end of the day. They would have seen the signs. They'd have known if there was a squall coming. And this squall came, and it came from nowhere. It was a supernatural storm. How do we know it was supernatural? Because it was so intense, they were terrified. They were terrified. Now get the scene. We've got the disciples in the boat. We've got Jesus at the stern asleep on a pillow. He's totally unperturbed. He's asleep. He's tired. He's ministered all day. And this storm blows up. The wind comes. The rain comes. The waves come. And the disciples start to bail out. We don't know what they've got in the boat, but I would imagine they've got things that they put the fish in as well. They would have had things in the boat to bail with. So you can imagine it, can't you? Over comes the wave. Paw! Crashing on the boat. Bailing out. You're my side. You just put that in my face. You can imagine how they were getting cross and angry with one another. Would you agree? Would you think they were starting to panic? Because then they think, well, let's go and wake him up. So they go and wake Jesus up. And what's the first thing they say to him? Don't you care about us that we're going to drown? Can you imagine speaking to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, like that? Don't you care? They had lost it. They'd lost it. Would you or I have been any different? Would we have lost it? Well, that's half a dozen. Come on. You all would have lost it. Because we don't realize the intensity of these waves that were coming over the boat. The intensity of the rain. The intensity of the wind. This was something they had never experienced before. And so they start to speak foolishly. And they even speak to Jesus foolishly. Do you realize we are spirit-filled, born-again believers of God? And we use dumb speech at times. You say things that are not the right thing to say. And they can bring into being things we don't even want to come into being. And they can affect others. Our speech can affect others anyway. But the Bible tells us we're made in the image of God. God created. We're made in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are a spirit being, we live in a body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And when we get under pressure and storms come, that is when the pressure cooker goes up with the steam, and we say what's inside. And that proves sometimes our hearts aren't right with the Lord, when we just let it out and say it as it is, instead of thinking what we're going to say. Our stupid speech can bring into being things we don't want and cause us and other people damage. Romans 4:17. Now, these disciples, let's just go back to them for a second or two. I've said they're experienced fishermen. They knew how to read the signs. But I want to tell you, when you actually look at the Greek in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, you realize that the word is seismos. Is the word that's used. And that is a word that describes an earthquake. So we're talking about a storm of earthquake proportions. A supernatural storm. It was very unusual, in other words, and this is why they lost it. And when you and I face things that are rather unusual, we can lose it as well. We can be afraid. We can be afraid. And I don't know if you noticed that the disciples said, Master, don't you care? Now, when you look at the Gospels, and you actually look at it carefully, and you realize Judas Iscariot never used the word Lord. He used the word he used the word teacher, he used the word master, but he never used the word Lord. And so therefore you start to realize when we're under pressure, perhaps our hearts are not right, and we say things that are not, normally the disciples would have said Lord, but they said master, their hearts were not right. Judas' heart was never right. He betrayed our Lord, didn't he? And so therefore he had never used the word Lord. He had never got his heart totally right with Jesus. And we need to get our hearts right with Jesus. But when Jesus is involved in the situation, he awakens. He awakens. It didn't catch him by surprise. But what did he do? Well, if you look at it carefully, he addresses the wind. He got up, verse 39, and rebuked the wind, then said to the waves, quiet, be still. He went to the root of the problem, not the fruit of the problem. Yeah? And so often we firefight and we go to the fruit of the problem instead of the root of the problem. I think that will encourage us all to think more carefully. Do you know, when you stop at a traffic light, you stop when it's red. And then you wait for amber and you wait for green to go. And while you're on the amber, you're preparing, ready to go. But the red is stop. And I would say to every single one of us, when a storm hits us, we need to stop and think, what's the root of this? Where can I track back and find the root? Don't attack the fruit. Go to the root first. Then, as Jesus did, then the waves and the rain. Yeah? So why did this storm happen? Well, we know that the devil is king of the air, but we also know that the devil was probably well aware the other side of the lake there were two demoniacs, and he was probably well aware that Jesus would get over the other side of that lake. Why was Jesus going to the other side of the lake? Two demoniacs. Jesus would heal them. What would happen as a result of their healing? The whole region would be saved. The whole region would turn to Jesus. And what happened? The devil really was trying to stop things, wasn't he? Would you agree? Are you all awake? Yeah? Come on, help me. Well, therefore, he would be doing the same to you and to you and to you and to me. The enemy doesn't want us witnessing for him. The enemy didn't want our David witnessing in hospital. But David did it. He did it because he felt the Lord speak to him and say, do it. And he didn't just witness to one, he witnessed to several. When the other thing, I'll interject here and just tell you, something David didn't say, when Terry phoned him up, I think it was the weekend, to pray for him, or before he was going to go into hospital. No, he was in hospital, wasn't he? And you prayed for him, and you kept saying the word stents, 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 David. And David said to me on the phone after that, he said, I was too polite to say to him, when he's trying to act like a pastor, to say, it's a bypass, Terry, it's a bypass. And so he phoned me up and said, he was right. It was stents, 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 not a bypass. So I'll just share that. Sometimes we need to go to the root of things, don't we? Always. So before every crown, you know, of triumph, there's a cross to go through. Before every crown of triumph, there's a cross to go through. So you and I need to think when storms hit us. We don't need to be afraid of suddenlies. We really don't need to be afraid of suddenlies. We don't need to be afraid of the enemy. We don't need to be afraid of the devil, whatever you want to call him. We do not want to be afraid because Jesus defeated him at Calvary. Do you believe it? Yes. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? I hope you all say yes. Are you rooted and grounded in Christ? Yes. Do you believe like the disciples and lose it? Or are you going to get more and more rooted into Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit, so you don't wobble and blow when suddenlies come that are bad? Are you? Yes, a few of you are. Well done. I hope you all are. Jesus is looking for persistence in you and I. He's looking for persistent and perseverance even when the going gets tough. Because normally when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Yeah? So he's looking for perseverance in you and 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 persistence in you and you and you and you and you and me. So when the going gets tough, we don't get going. We let our roots go down even deeper. And we get the water from the Spirit of life. And we say, Lord, with you, we can climb a mountain. We can scale a wall with you. Do you believe it? We've got to start to learn it, church. We've got to start to learn it. We can live free from fear. Jesus has given us the keys of the kingdom. And that's Matthew 16:19. I'll just turn there. And there's a reason why I'm turning there. Matthew 16:19. Yeah. This is Jesus speaking. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The heaven Jesus was talking about here is not the heaven where God resides. He was talking about the heavenly realms, the battle zone where Satan's forces are operating. He was telling us God has given us power and authority to bind wicked spirits in heavenly places and to loose angelic powers of God to work on our behalf. We've nothing to be afraid of. Jesus had the victory at Calvary. We are in Christ. We are on the victory side. We can be victors and not victims. And why am I sharing that scripture? Because about 35 years ago, Terry and I, maybe 37, something like, were at Spring Harvest with a crowd of friends. And we hadn't been Christians so long. We were coming out at the big top of a lunchtime, and there's thousands at Skegness Spring Harvest, or there used to be. And this man came running up to us. I've been looking for you everywhere. Never seen him before. And he said, I have a word from God for you. Could we go somewhere quiet? We said, well, there is nowhere quiet back unless it's back at our chalet. So he came back to the chalet with us. And he shared a load of things with us which were quite revealing. But he gave us this scripture. And we never understood it. And we said to him at the time, we said, could we have your name, phone number, and address so we can contact you? You really encouraged us. You've really helped us. He gave it to us. We got home from Spring Harvest all those years ago, and we tried to contact him. Nobody knew him. Nobody at that address lived there. Nobody at that phone number. And we thought, was it an angel? Was it a real angel from God sharing with us to encourage us and lead us on? Well, I want to encourage you and lead you on today. God gives us the keys of the kingdom. And we need to be not scared or afraid when things happen. There is no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. And God loves you. As you heard David say earlier, God told him he loved those people who don't know Christ. He loved them. And he wanted them. And he loved David. But if David didn't want to be used, he wouldn't be used. But he'd use him if he wanted to be used. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use you and me to bring the kingdom in. Will we allow him to use us? Do you know Philippians 2:9-10 says, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and one day they all will. So, can I commend you and encourage you to start to do something? Read Psalm 91 most days. Put your name in it. Let it speak into your heart. Let God build you up in his love, in his grace, in his peace, in his presence. Psalm 121, read that. Learn it off by heart. If you waken at night, speak it out. Speak it out. Encourage yourself in Jesus. Do you know, if we listen and we learn from God's word, it will take us from trouble to triumph again and again and again. And I can tell you, in my life, that has happened. Have I failed? Yes, I have. Will I fail again? Yes, I will. But I know one thing, my God will see me through. My God will do it. My God is your God. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And he can do it for you, and he can do it for you, and he can do it for all of us. Will you start to get encouraged? Will you start to get motivated? And will you start to stand up for Jesus in this world that's kicking Jesus out of everything? Would you agree? Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength, even in those suddenly moments. Does that mean happiness, which is dependent on happiness? No, it doesn't. Happiness is happenings. Joy is deep, deep down inside. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's trust him. Let's obey him. Let's let him guide us and lead us through our difficulties and our joys. Lastly, I am coming to a close, everybody. But lastly, one day there will be a suddenly for every single person in this room. I would like to think it's the rapture. But it could be that I go to be with the Lord, or you go to be with the Lord. We don't know. Our days are in his hands. But you and I need to live today and every day as if that was it. We need to be kingdom people, building the kingdom for God. Amen. One day there will be an end time suddenly. And if we're rooted and grounded in Christ, we can cope. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 were not. I believe they were all Christians. 5 were ready, 5 were not. I'm going to be ready. I don't want to be unprepared. I commend you. Be prepared. Get in to praying to the Lord, to talking to the Lord. You haven't got to use a fancy jargon. Just talk to God. Allow him to talk to you. Like you heard David say, he heard him, tell him off. Well, we need to hear these things. And like we had a time, Terry gave us a time of silence this morning. We need that. He might be saying to you, you go up front and share that because that'll help Joe Bloggs over there. If you get a word, if you get a scripture, if you get a prophecy, if you get even an ailment that you believe somebody's got, you run to the front and tell someone, because it could be it's for somebody here today to bless the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's be a prepared people. Let's praise the Lord. I tell you, I long to get these masks off singing so we can lift the roof off. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows how many days you and I have got left. Let's receive each day as a precious gift. I want each one of us, every single day, to look into it and face up to our responsibilities. To revel in the joys. To revel in the blessings. To revel in the fact that he gets us through it at the end of the day. Do you remember our disciples at the end of the day got in a boat to go the other side of the lake? It had been a busy day. But what we mustn't be at the end of a day, so busy that we lose it because we haven't communed with Jesus enough during the day. I don't want to fall into bed exhausted and snap and say something wrong to Terry. Nor do you with anybody in your family. You want to be as fresh in the evening as you were in the morning because you communed with Jesus throughout the day. Let's each of us learn how to handle our suddenlies with with respect, actually, whether they're good or they're bad. I want each one of us in this auditorium today to start to see yourself strong in Jesus. Maybe you've never asked the Holy Spirit into your life. Maybe you've just asked Jesus into your heart. You need the Holy Spirit. I couldn't get up here and speak and preach without the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We're the vessel God uses. God's looking for hands and feet and people to use by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing I can do out there to help people, but our Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of his Holy Spirit, can. We will see more miracles. We will see more healings. We will see people delivered from different things, be it alcohol, whatever it is. We will see people delivered more and more and more, because our God's in the business of restoration. God loves you. He's longing for you, every single one of you in this auditorium, to stand up and say, I'm for Jesus, and I'm going for Jesus today, and I'm going to do everything for Jesus today. You can't shove this Bible down anybody's throat, but you can be the hands and feet of Jesus, and you can zip it when you're going to say something negative, and just be kind and loving and gracious to people. It's your responsibility and mine, you know, to bring others into the glorious kingdom of God before it's too late, before we have that final suddenly. Shall we stand? Because I believe when God's presence and God's power and God's people come together, he's at work. Things can happen. Miracles can happen. I'd ask each one of us just to close our eyes and hold out our hands. And just in a couple of moments of silence even, just say to the Lord, Lord, I want your will in my life. And Lord, as we've all said that, I would ask each one of us, myself included, who do we say Jesus is? I don't want him just to be a master or a preacher or a teacher. I want him to be Lord of my life 24/7 for as long as I'm on earth. And Lord, I pray that for my brothers and sisters here today. Ask him to be Lord of your life. Just quietly. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. The devil knows Jesus is real. He believes in him. It's surrendering all of yourself to Jesus. All of yourself to Jesus. The good bits, the bad bits, the indifferent bits, the bits that want to do their own thing. Surrender the lot. And I say, Lord, just chip the bits of me that you don't want. You just say the same to the Lord. Lord, I pray you'd open the eyes of every heart in this auditorium. Open the eyes of our hearts and our spiritual ears to hear what you're saying to us. We need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Touch everybody. Everybody. Lord, may everybody leave this auditorium knowing they've met with you in a personal way, that they are changed. They can face suddenlies, especially the bad ones, but also the good ones. And we can grow. We can rise on wings like eagles. Lord, your word tells us, even youths grow tired and weary. And we've all grown a bit tired and weary with a pandemic. A bit lethargic. We don't want to be like a church of Laodicea, Lord. We want to rise on wings like eagles. Even youths grow tired and weary. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And Lord, we're praying that together as a family this day here. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Bless you all. And I pray that you really think about that during the day and during the week and say to yourself, yes, I want to get deeper with the Lord. Amen. Terry.